You said they're the same. You said they're the same.
Incoming transmission. Engage house party protocol. Mark 4 powering up. Mark 17 powering up. Mark 44 powering up. All suits are online. Welcome to house party protocol.
Power up suits and welcome in to another episode of House Party Protocol. My name is Will, and with me today, the one and only Nate.
Woohoo! That's me.
So normally, everyone who listens to House Party Protocol hopefully knows that Nate and I do the after party where we talk about older characters and where they are now. Well, this episode of House Party Protocol is featuring Nate to discuss a very inevitable topic, if you will. So Nate, how are you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing good. It's been a long day, but it has been also a good day because we get to take a look at something that I did not think we were going to get to take a look at so soon, and I am super excited to kind of start breaking them down a little bit.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So without further ado, we are going to be talking about the one and only Mad Titan of the Marvel Universe, Thanos. And it is Thanos, not Thanos, for anyone out there who thinks otherwise. I'm just saying. Like, look, I'm going to gatekeep just this tiny little bit. I know, I'm sorry, it's messed up. I shouldn't do it. But it is Thanos, not Thanos.
It's Thanos, right? That's what you're saying?
Don't make me come across this computer screen.
I'll see you in about 3 or 4 hours when you get here.
Yeah. I'm gonna be there. And your wife's not gonna be happy when I wake you up in the middle of the night to tell you.
Man, my dog won't be happy to see you, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's probably true. I'm gonna scream it in your ear while you're dead asleep, just Thanos. No, I'm kidding. But yes. So, Nate, I don't know about you, but this has kind of been a looming presence in the Marvel Crisis Protocol universe almost since launch, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things that we all kind of knew eventually we would get to the point of having Thanos hit the table. And it's been really cool to kind of slowly have a couple of gems spoiled here and there by getting them with characters like Loki, and then slowly also getting some of his minions first, which was the first time that's ever happened. We've always had the leader of an affiliation first, so we kind of know how the rest of the affiliation fits with them. And this time we were kind of left guessing, and Thanos is the last piece of the puzzle to fit together the Black Order, which was a really cool way of leading up to him, I guess.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think that is really cool what they did with that. Total reversal from what we've had before. And I'm interested to see kind of the implications of that in future releases. But to go back for a second, we've been teased Thanos for quite a while, and I don't know about you, but I'm very excited for this character. I know Greg and me, we mentioned a long time ago that when Thanos was first announced that we were going to be doing a giveaway once he got announced, and that still holds true. So, suits out there, we are going to be posting a Facebook link at House Party Protocol Podcast, that's at Facebook, of a giveaway for a Thanos pack when we get an official release date. Because I want to make the contest end on that release date. So stay tuned for that. You can tune in here to the podcast and keep an eye on that. And stay tuned to our Facebook page. Make sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a review. Hit up our Facebook page, like us over there, leave us a review over there. We love that stuff. We like talking to you guys over there. And anyways, all that out of the way, Nate, are you ready to dive in
and discuss very much so.
This inevitable being, this mad titan? I don't know if we're ready for this, dude.
With as much preparation and ever since Joss Whedon did us the pleasure of giving us the ultimate end credit scene, I think we are ready.
You know, so let's talk about that for just 1 second. I know I'm teasing the shit out of this. Please don't judge me. But how much of a fun, like, tease has this been that AMG has worked up for us? Because it follows a lot in the trajectory. Like, obviously, it's not been 10 years or whatever to get to Thanos, but it's been a nice little progression of teases ever so often from Atomic Mass Games, much like the MCU, which I find to be pretty fun, personally. I don't know about you.
There are definitely some parallels that I enjoy, and it's obviously, like, it works. It's something that AMG has taken from the most successful movie franchise to date, I believe.
Oh, it is. Yes, it is.
I don't want to go ahead because I know, like, Harry Potter had a lot of movies and it was real popular.
But they were not multiple bucks. Billions of dollars worth of movies.
And I guess they've now had the additional. My wife's going to kill me because I don't remember the name of this. The Beasts movie.
Fantastic Beasts.
Fantastic Beasts, Where to Find Them, and then it's less.
There was a Crimes About Johnny Depp thing.
Crimes of Grindelwald, yeah.
That's it.
Was not as well received, unfortunately.
But we're not here to talk about Crimes of Grindelwald. We're here to talk about the Crimes of the Mad Titan.
All right, let's do it.
So, as everyone listening knows, we always talk about the miniature first. So, Nate, let's talk about this beautiful miniature that they have for us here, because it's one that I find to be interesting. I love it in a lot of ways, but it's really interesting, and I want to get your thoughts on it, and then I'll tell you mine.
Okay. So, personally, I'm an absolute huge fan. I think him coming off of his throne, him coming off of the step, them making a base specifically for him that's going to fit into his throne piece, almost iconic is what this picture of him coming off of the throne is, whether it's from the comics or it's from the movies. It just seems very much like the Thanos that we have come to know, especially over the past decade. And with that, I think him holding up the one hand with the gauntlet makes a lot of sense, and it just imposes that imagery that much more. The only thing I kind of don't like is that arm without the gauntlet isn't quite as iconic, and maybe they could have maybe just had that arm down by his side as well or something. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be putting the gauntlet on. I'm not even probably going to magnetize it because I'm so excited to have this awesome-looking Thanos hit the table.
Yeah, so that is pretty much where I stand, too, is I think that from an iconography standpoint, walking off the throne, and that's another thing with this model, you get a throne. You get, like, a throne terrain piece that
it's
is
size 3.
Enormous. Size 3 that this 50 millimeter base can fit inside of, which is bananas awesome, if you ask me. So you get this throne, and then there he is stepping down off the throne, which is really cool. But here's where I find this pose to be interesting, and it is exactly like what you said. You have two hands and at least two heads, but I think they said there were 3? At some point,
I know of 2. I know of the one with the grin and the one with the grimace.
Well, yeah. So I'm definitely sure there's 2, but for some reason I thought there might have been 3. That's neither here nor there. But there's at least 2. So you have 2 different heads, And the gauntlet, like, honestly, who's not going to put the gauntlet on there? Okay, magnetize it if you want, that's fine. But let's be real, people. You want the gauntlet. Like, let's just not even play. Right?
Right. Oh, yeah, no, it's all the way for the gauntlet.
Come on. Like, who doesn't want the Infinity Gauntlet on this model? That's not the important part. The important part is the head. And that is where I'm like, okay, do I magnetize? Do I not magnetize? If I magnetize, am I any good at it? Because there might be times in the middle of a match where Thanos gets a little sad. A little sad Thanos. And he needs to have his Grimace face on, and I need to have that ready. You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. Oddly enough, the thing that I want to magnetize the most is his base itself.
To keep it on that big throne?
No, because I would love to... I know it comes with two bases that are specific for Thanos, so that you can have him on the base, and then so that you kind of have like a placeholder while the throne is in your showcase or what have you. But I want to be able to put Thanos on just like a normal city base, him still stepping off of the curb and all of that kind of stuff on a 50mm base.
Interesting.
But that way he matches the rest of the set.
A little foot magnetization.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. So, yeah, I'm very excited to paint this miniature up, and I am going full traditional. I mean, it's going to be blue, gold, purple face, everything.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, every once in a while I can get a little crazy and enjoy myself. I enjoy myself with painting no matter what, but you know what I mean. Every once in a while I can feel like I want to go a little nuts, but with this one, I mean, it is going to be purely comic accurate. The only thing that I wish they would have done differently with this sculpt is the pose of him in the original Infinity Gauntlet thing where he's standing there and he's going, come at me or whatever. I don't remember the exact panel, but like I remember the he's standing there kind of crouched over. He's got both fists up and it's like, come and get me. Like, that would have been such a good pose. But.
Yep, I was a lucky enough person to get the Thanos from the Knight model range, and I've got to paint that pose. It is a very cool pose, and I didn't even do gold back then. I did straight up blue and yellow for just super Infinity War classic Thanos.
See, I didn't even know that was the Knight models went with that pose. That's how out of the loop I was on that game.
Yeah, at least it's the pose I think you're talking about, where you kind of have both the hands in the air, ready to goad on the Avengers and all else who stands in his way.
That's it, man. So, speaking of people standing in his way, why don't we now pivot to this beautiful card and discuss?
It is a nice card full of words.
This is probably the wordiest card we have in the game, I think. Maybe Ronin's is a little bit wordier, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, Ronin might be up there. Maybe Maw. I don't remember all of who.
It's pretty weird.
But regardless, it is one that is filled with words, filled with abilities, and all sorts of cool stuff that let's dive into.
All right, so first up, we have the name Thanos the Mad Titan, with an alter ego of Thanos, not Thanos. I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
So he has a stamina of 8. So his health is 8. He moves medium. He is size 3. Threat value of 6. His physical defense is 3. His energy defense is 3. And his mystic or mental defense is 4. So, Nate, what stands out to you on that stat line?
The easy thing that pops out to me here is the physical and energy defense of only 3, to be honest.
Me too, actually. But since you said that, I'll say something else. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, it seems a little low. 8 health for 6 threat. That seems reasonable. The only other exception that we have, without worrying about gems or anything else, at 6 threat is Hulk, and he's just kind of a weird anomaly to the game as a whole anyway. But 8 stamina seems pretty reasonable on the healthy side. And so it just kind of seems like his physical and energy defenses are a little bit low.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I think I would have expected at least a 4 on one or the other. Not necessarily both, but definitely one or the other. Having a 4 would have been, I think, what I would have expected. But maybe some of his superpowers down the line can justify these lower defenses. Because let's be honest, as awesome as Thanos is and as big of a threat, threat value 6, as he is, he should be killable or at least dazable. So let's go on to his attacks and then we'll get into superpowers and see if we can figure out why some of those defenses are what they are.
Yeah, absolutely. So his first attack is just a strike. It is a physical attack. It has a range of 2, strength of 6, and a power cost of 0. It has that also familiar line of after this attack is resolved, this character, being Thanos, gains power equal to the damage dealt. And then the terrifying part comes in. On a wild throw. Before damage is dealt, this character may throw the target character away short. But Nate, but Will, that's not terrifying. Thor does that, and Thor has a charge. Will, what makes that little bit of text there so terrifying?
Well, the fact that there is no size requirement is what makes that so terrifying.
So what you're telling me is that there's the possibility of a size 5, maybe Giant Man, maybe Goliath.
Galactus. You left. I mean, like, let's just Galactus the shit out of this.
That's not size 5. That's size like 7, or, if not larger.
Okay, what about a Sentinel? A Sentinel, maybe?
Sentinel could be in that size 5 category.
But hang on. We just mentioned Sentinels, and Sentinels are primarily the foes of...
the Inhumans.
You mean discount? That's discount X-Men. Are you trying to get me triggered right now?
It's a fun pastime. What can I say?
Yeah. So discount X-Men and humans, no. But real mutants. So Idris, help us out.
Reset the clock.
Thank you.
So ultimately, the terrifying thing here is on the wild, he's able to throw... potentially, assuming they're coming, we don't actually know, but otherwise there wouldn't be a reason that they didn't put a size restriction on it like they did Thor, like they did Drax, like they did Ronan. Of the possibility of Thanos being able to throw a size 5 character, which is the equivalent of 6 incoming damage.
Yeah, that
sounds...
And that's
not even the actual attack.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And...
so... yeah, that is awesome and terrifying. And granted, we don't have any confirmation of anything like this. We don't even – like we have Ant-Man and Wasp, but obviously Giant-Man is not in that box. But the potential for this could be devastating.
Yeah, some pretty interesting implications. And it's much like in the rule book, they mention specific characters that we have had zero – anything about, like we haven't heard anything, haven't had any news or anything about, and we're almost a year into this game's announcement. And so, like, I feel like this is one of those things that's going to be the long play tease, if you will. And I'm excited for that. So yeah, continue on with his next attack, and then we'll actually discuss the implications of all of his attacks.
Yeah, absolutely. So his other attack is energy. It is Cosmic Blast. Has a little bit better range with range of 3. It does only have a strength of 5, but it has a power cost of 0 with a little bit of an asterisk there. I say that because the first ability on this attack is very reminiscent of one of Black Panther's attacks, and it says when creating the dice pool for this attack, this character may spend up to 3 power. Add 1 die to this attack roll for each power spent this way. So what this ultimately could end up being is a range 3, 8 strength attack that costs 3 power, which is pretty solid all in all.
And pretty on par with other, like, pay for it attacks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You got one of the things that comes to mind is Captain Marvel and her rocket punch is range 3. It has a strength of 7, I believe, for a power cost of 3. And so it's almost a little bit above average on what the damage output could be. Granted, that one has the chance to stagger. This one, however, has the chance to trigger Titan's Will on a wild.
Ooh, what's that?
Titan's Will, after this attack is resolved, this character pushes the target character away short. Pretty good. Once again, no size restrictions or any of that stuff, but the especially nasty bit comes in after the pushed character gains this slow special condition.
Yeah, that is extra good. There's a little cherry on top of our whipped cream that was on top of the ice cream.
Yep. And because I am such a rules geek, it is worth mentioning here real quick that if Vision is in his enhanced density form, if Cap and Bucky are in there till the end of the line, if they aren't pushed, they do not gain the slow condition, even if Thanos rolls the wild.
That's really awesome that you clarified that, because that was going to be my next question, is what about those characters specifically? That's awesome. Like, you just read my mind. I love this. I love you. You're awesome.
Oh,
So
shucks.
these attacks in general, so he only has two attacks,
He only has two attacks.
which I find to be interesting and a little bit unexpected from what you would think of.
Yep, and additionally, neither of those attacks within themselves have a natural power cost. They're both free attacks.
Exactly. Like, I would say with Cosmic Blast, if I'm going to be doing it, I'm going to want to spend some power to increase my chances for that wild in general. But I like that they're both free attacks, and it's the first time that I think we've seen a character with only free attacks.
I mean, just because it's, again, fun to trigger and bust your bubble. Hawkeye comes to mind.
Damn it. I mean, oh, darn it. I did forget, there's this bubble and I have it and you like to burst it. So, yeah, there you go. So, the second character we've seen in the last month, I'm not as familiar with Hawkeye. Don't judge me.
Oh, but he's so good, man.
I know, but
You're
I
gonna
haven't
get
played
familiar
with
with
him
him.
yet. He is really good, but I haven't got him on the table, so I'm going to use that as my excuse.
Whatever makes you feel better, man.
Exactly. Yeah, just tell me that's a fair point and move on. So, anyways, I like these attacks. His strike, like we mentioned a few minutes ago, it's very reminiscent of Thor's strike, and you can look at it and expect that wild to hit roughly 50% of the time, give or take. I think it's around there.
Yep, a
And
little bit above, but yeah.
right. But the one thing that Thanos doesn't have that Thor does, and this is maybe a little bit of a spoiler for what we're going to talk about his superpowers in just a second, is Thanos does not have a way to move and attack to for Asgard, or to charge, as it were, which is particularly, I think, one of the things that makes Thor's strike so deadly. So, Nate, any other thoughts on his attacks?
Well, without diving too far into the superpowers, because I also really want to touch on his leadership ability before we dive in there. So for now, I will say nothing on the attack front, but then maybe chime back in after we get down the line a little bit.
Well, obviously. So let's talk about his superpowers. And the first up is his leadership ability. And he is the leader of the Black Order. And his leadership ability is called Death's Agenda. So when an enemy character is KO'd, this character's controlling player scores one victory point. That's pretty cool.
It's not bad.
I mean, is it better than usurp the throne?
I would say most of the time.
Interesting, interesting. Okay.
But it's also vastly different. It's a question that I had not thought of. Like obviously there are similarities there. The restriction that it has to be on the KO'd is
Right.
A lot more limiting in some aspects. But there are also some really nice things. You don't have to be targeting down a specific big threat character, which is usually that Thor or MODOK, which are a little bit harder to bring down sometimes. There's kind of a balance. At the end of the day, anything that is not on an objective that says score victory points is going to naturally just be really strong and something that your opponent has to keep in mind.
Yeah, I think it's more what your last point was, something that your opponent has to keep in mind because it is KO specific. So you can daze characters all day long, but unless you're KOing someone, you're not getting that victory point. And it's only one victory point. Now, one victory point's a big deal, but let's say that you're... I mean, there's definitely a list out there that is a Black Order kill list. Like that could be a thing, but if you're solely focused on killing the opponent, and that opponent is continuously scoring victory points, and you're not able to score enough victory points before either they get to that 16, or the round limit ends because dice are gonna dice. I mean, I just feel like that's a little bit too much variance.
Yeah, it's one of those things. This is not a leadership ability / way to win the game with just this ability. It is something to add to your game plan. So if your opponent is taking two secures, you're taking two secures. Your opponent has two extracts. You have two extracts. This is an ability that can push you either into better positions because your opponent isn't able to very easily deal with it and stuff like that. I think it's not something to try to win the game on just off of that, but it's going to be able to push situations that your opponent is uncomfortable with.
Interesting. Yeah. So I agree with that. And you know me, how I have preached about playing is trying to make your opponent make tough decisions. One of the things I think this ability could lend itself to is allowing the Black Order player to maybe focus less on one or the other secure or extract. So for instance, let's say you're playing herbs, right? Well, herbs score fast once you score them, but in general, it's a slower scoring crisis. So
yeah,
maybe this
without
allows...
extra support, you're not scoring that half of the objective until turn 30.
Exactly. Exactly. There's ways to score it quick, but I'm generalizing. You know this.
Yeah.
So, but if you can mitigate your opponent from getting their herb and also not have to worry about trying to secure your own herb because you're not playing for it in the first place, I think that that's an interesting dynamic that you can create with not necessarily having to focus on either a secure or an extract objective.
Mm-hmm.
You can play it in such a way to where, okay, I'm going to just do this secure and I'm going to make sure that I, quote, secure, and then I'm going to try to kill your ass, or vice versa. I'm going to make sure I grab a billion cube fragments. I'm going to make sure I grab as many hammers as I can and then kill your ass, you know?
Yep.
So I think that makes an interesting thing, and I'm excited to try out different ways to get this leadership to work. So let's continue on down his list of superpowers here. His first real superpower is an active superpower called Cosmic Portal. It costs you 2 power. Choose another character within range 4 of this character. Place the chosen character within range 2 of its current position. A character can be placed by this superpower only once per turn. Holy shit.
Hey, Will.
Hey, Nate.
Who's the only character that Thanos can't target with this ability?
Well, anyone?
Himself.
Huh? Oh, yeah, himself. Yeah.
So that means you can get your models faster up the board. Or maybe you can get your opponent's models
right
into range of Thanos.
Or
maybe out of range of Thanos.
Out of range of scoring those all too precious victory points.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, he's the only character. Thanos is the only character that cannot be targeted by this ability. Which, I think that this is a huge superpower. And
absolutely.
As we get further along and we start talking about the power generation that Thanos is going to have, like, holy shit. I mean, this ability here, it's targeting your players, your models, your opponent's models. Oh, hey, I'm going to activate Thanos last in the round. I'm going to move him up. I'm going to double move him. Okay, I'm going to double move him. A lot of times you think a double move's bad, but guess what? I'm going to double move him. I've got a bank of 8 power. Boom, I'm all of a sudden moving people around like they're chess pawns.
Yep, that is not only moving your opponent's characters off of objectives, that can also then be Thanos then moving your characters onto objectives.
Exactly. And the more that I've looked at this card, the more, as we'll see in just a second, I'm thinking Thanos is a support leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's a support character. Thanos, mm-hmm. The Mad Titan. What the hell? Okay. Let's continue on with his next superpower. It is a reactive superpower called Death's Decree. And it costs you 2 power. When another allied character within range 4 of this character targets an enemy character with an attack, this character may use this superpower. So that's your trigger for this reactive superpower. It's a lot of words to say that when another allied character does an attack or chooses to target someone with an attack, as long as they're within range 4 of Thanos, they get to do this. Or Thanos gets to do this and pay 2 power to do it. If the attacking character is healthy, so on its front side, on its first side, healthy, it adds 2 dice to its attack roll. If the attacking character is injured, so on his backside, giggity, it adds 4 dice to its attack roll. This superpower may be used only once per turn.
Thank goodness.
Right? That is, oh my gosh, like, holy crap. You want to talk about pumping up some damage. I mean, holy right? I can't even.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know how Shuri, everybody really likes Shuri because she adds consistency? What if instead of consistency, you just get more dice to start with?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, there's so many characters on this right now that would be so much more benefited by this ability. And there's even, like, core game characters, like core set characters that would love this ability. You know, I mean, I don't know why you would do it, but if you're somehow running core Black Widow in Black Order, I mean, holy shit, her attacks become either 6 dice or 8 dice. And there's obviously more characters that can get more dice. But let's think about what Black Widow does well, just as a character, right? Her strike has Widow's Sting, so she can take away power from a character. Her mixed technique has Elusive, which can let her move places, and if it deals damage, she staggers someone. So you're telling me that I can now potentially get to roll 6 dice on my mixed technique attack, which, granted, I don't really want to be attacking with Corset Black Widow, but that's not the point here. The point is how good it can make her. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And now all of a sudden I'm passing out staggers like they're candy.
Yep, there are Death Decree is maybe one of the strongest support abilities we've seen in the category of just rolling dice. Shuri's consistency is great, but the failures that will happen, or sometimes it won't even matter because you get that just wonderful roll where everything goes your way and the rerolls won't help. But just having two extra dice is always going to be better than having two extra rerolls. It just math.
It's always
and
better.
Stuff.
Well, and it's like you said, the chance for a critical on every single die roll and your initial roll is always going to trump rerolls.
Yep.
So.
And then. This attack, you mentioned corset characters. You mentioned Black Widow. That on the kind of fun side, that's thinking on the small scale of what can be done with this ability.
Oh, for sure. That's super small scale. I copped it.
I don't know, maybe Dr. Octopus.
Yep.
Yeah.
On let's forget about arm lasers altogether, and let's take a look at that strike that on a wild it counts as two. And suddenly you pump that 4-dice strike into a 6-dice or maybe even 8-dice
exactly.
strike where wilds count as 2 successes.
Exactly. Like,
or maybe Captain Marvel with her energy blast that gets free rerolls. So you get her on the injured side where she's going to have enough power to go binary and roll 10 dice with rerolls.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that the implications of this is huge and far-reaching, and as we'll talk about in just a minute, from an affiliation standpoint, it gets bonkers. It really gets bonkers. And let's finish off his superpowers, and then we'll get into the rest of this here in just a second. So his next superpower is an innate ability, so he always has it. It's called Being of Immeasurable Power. When this character would suffer damage from an enemy effect, reduce the amount suffered by 1. Additionally, this character may have 2...
Hold on. Was there a period there?
Yeah, there's definitely a period.
Was there not a nice little subtext of to a minimum of 1?
No,
was that just reduce the amount suffered by 1?
Period. So, Black Dwarf's invulnerability, or the Iron Man invulnerability,
Corpse Slave, Proxima.
Right. They all have these really nice abilities to a minimum of 1. But old Thanos here, old Mad Titan Man, he is just straight reduced damage. So, remember when we first started talking about his defenses?
We were pulling your guys' legs.
Yeah. That's what we in the podcast biz call the slow play.
So
is that
no
what
matter
it?
What, as long as it's from an enemy effect, Thanos instinctively gets 1 block result that cannot be modified or touched or anything else for all of his defenses and dodge rolls.
You touched on a really good point there, Nate. Enemy effect. So that does not, there's a very important thing here. It does not say from an enemy attack.
Yep.
So you throw that size 4 building at him, he's automatically reducing that damage by 1, period.
Yep. Or even if you throw Thanos himself,
that was
my
next thing. Oh, that was my next thing.
Oh, oops. Sorry.
It's okay. So yeah, even if you, like, one of my favorite things to do is like, oh, hey, I'm going to throw this character and they're going to take 1 damage. They're going to be left on 1, or it's going to daze or KO them. And
yeah, it's kind of having that nice shirt up golf putt for the finishing touch.
It's called the tap in, Nate.
Yep. And guess what you can't do?
You can't tap in with Thanos, because if I throw him at someone else, he doesn't take any damage, because it says from an enemy effect, reduce the damage, the amount suffered by 1. So that 1 that's guaranteed is gone.
So what are things that can still plink in for that one damage that people should know about?
Well, Nate, I'm glad you asked, and I'll let you answer that.
Fair enough. So one, the bleed special condition is not an enemy effect. An enemy effect can give you bleed, but the bleed itself is not considered an enemy effect. So if Thanos does not shake off the bleed condition, he will still take a point of damage from that.
That is correct. That is a status condition, not an enemy effect. That's the only one I can think of.
And then similar with objectives. So things like the power cubes or the cosmic cube fragments.
Gamma shelters.
And gamma waves. Yep.
Yep. Okay. So yeah, that makes sense. I mean, yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that because I kind of sometimes take things for granted, even though I try to make this show as beginner friendly as possible, that certain aspects of it are not as intuitive as I might think. Bleed, gamma shelters, that kind of stuff. So yeah. But that's not all that this superpower does.
What, there's more?
Yeah.
You're giving him a permanent passive ability that is kind of Crossbones' defining trait. There's more to this ability?
Wait. Did you just compare Thanos to Crossbones and say that they're basically the same character? Is that what I just heard? I'm pretty sure. Suits, you heard it. Nate said it. That Crossbones
I think you're taking some words
and Thanos
out of my mouth
are the same.
Changing them around.
You said it, they're the same. You said they're the same.
Oh, okay.
I heard it. Yeah. So make sure y'all comment on his video for Thanos when he puts it up about how he's the same as Crossbones.
Absolutely.
All right. So his additionally part of this superpower is additionally, this character may have two Infinity Gems rather than the normally allowed one, and may use the active or reactive superpowers of Infinity Gems without paying the power cost. Whew, yeah. So, Nate, before you comment on that, you're probably asking yourself, well, Will, what Infinity Gems is Thanos allowed to have? I'm glad you asked, Nate. All of them.
How many is that?
Six. He is allowed to possess all of them. Granted, he can only have two of them at a time, but he has access to all six.
And thankfully, we now know what all six do.
Yes, but before we talk about what all six do, he also has immunity to stun. So all you people out there that like to play that little stun game where you're neutering characters by not letting them get some power, and I say that like I'm accusing someone. I'm not. Like, I don't know if anybody plays that game or not. But the stun special condition does not affect Thanos. So have fun with that. You can't keep him from getting power, folks.
You got him, Will. Let me tell you, you got those very small selection of people doing that very specific thing.
I mean, I just felt like they needed to be put in their place, okay? So, yeah.
All right, so, before, do we want to tackle the gems first, or do we want to tackle what happens when the Mad Titan gets mad?
So, let's go ahead and talk about the two unrevealed gems. Then we'll talk about his flip side, and then we'll put it all together and have that discussion.
Absolutely. So the first one that I saw, at least, I'm not sure about you, from the latest two revealed, was the Reality Gem.
Yeah.
And boy, is Reality not disappointing this time.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say, just go ahead and you can quote me on this. This is the best one.
I think it is definitely my top two, but it has a threat value of one.
Yeah.
It does not have an active or reactive ability. It is rather an innate ability called Reality Gem. And it says when rolling dice is part of an attack, defense, dodge, or interact roll, this character treats one wild result as a crit.
Treats. No, you just read
no,
that wrong.
No, I read that wrong.
He
oh
treats skull results, so critical failure results, as critical results. What are the implications for that, Nate?
So many.
So many.
Obviously, the first one that comes to mind, because off the top of your head, do you remember who else can wield the reality gem?
Ooh. Corvus Glaive.
Corvus Glaive. Do you know what one of Corvus Glaive's freaking abilities is?
Ooh, I can't remember off the top of my head. Hang on, I got it right here.
Glaive's Edge allows him to count blanks as successes during an attack roll.
Oh, yeah.
So what you're telling me is Corvus Glaive on an attack has seven successful sides out of eight.
Yeah.
On his dice. Barring you roll multiple failures and your dice hate you and all that kind of stuff. So obviously
no,
that
whoa,
is...
No, whoa. You said, barring you roll multiple failures. So no matter how many failures you roll, he gets to count this as
treats one failure result. Treats one failure result.
It does say one failure result. I was reading it as more than one. Damn it. All right. So, it's one failure result. I thought it was more than one, and that's why I thought it was so good. I still think this is the best one.
It's still really good. Yeah. So obviously the attack, the defense, the dodge, making your dice better is never a bad thing. I think where this is sneaky good is the last part of the dice rolls that it affects, and that's the interact rolls.
That I agree with, because like you said, so now you're telling me that your eight-sided dice your eight-sided die that on most of those things, like so for Origin Bombs, for instance, who plays Kree Power Core, honestly, or Skrull, but you've got those rolls that you make, you know, hit wild crit. Well, now all of a sudden you have a fourth option, which turns your eight-sided die with four possible successes into a five possible successes.
And that in itself is really good, especially on Origin Bombs, because then also it prevents them from taking a damage, because that crit or the critical fail that would damage them on Origin Bombs then becomes a crit, so they don't even take that extra damage.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm 100% with you on that. To me is probably the most interesting thing. I just simply because this is an objective-based game at the end of the day. At the end of the day, most of the time you're not going to win by tabling. It happens. I know there's people on TTS that are playing right now. They're like, oh, table all the time. I bet you do, and that's great. But I don't think that the tabling strategy is necessarily how you're going to win most games. So having something that allows you to mitigate the dice on those interacts to score victory points, I think is really huge.
Yeah, and adding consistency to your dice, even for the not as often seen, but the Kree Power Core and the Skrull Infiltrator, at least not seen as often in the groups we're playing in, but having that basically doubles your chance of finding those, which can be really important, because that is usually can very easily swing a game, whoever gets that first and then is able to run away with the Power Core or Skrull Infiltrator.
Exactly. And another fun thing about this is, while it might be only one crit result, one crit fail result becomes a crit, I can't speak for everyone's dice rolls, and dice are going to dice, as I've said before, but I mean, I roll one, maybe two per roll realistically. So this is huge, I think. I think it really, to your point, it adds that level of consistency, and it makes me want to take this gem specifically on Thanos almost more than any other.
You know what? That's an interesting thing you say, because I like the other gem that we got revealed today even more on
Oh,
Thanos.
you do, huh? Well, what gem is that?
That is the soul gem. It also only has a threat value of one and also has the passive ability or innate ability of soul gem. And it says when an enemy character within range four of this character uses an active or reactive superpower, this character gains one power after the effect is resolved.
Yeah, this is probably the best one.
You know what the power gem does?
Yeah.
It gives a character two extra power.
Yeah.
You know what the soul gem does
Hang on, hang on,
after
hang on,
round one?
hang on. Unlimited power! Is that what it does?
That pretty much
Is that what it
sums
does?
it up quite well.
I'm pretty sure that's what it does.
So this is going to be so potent. We don't know anybody else who can use the soul gem that I know of off the top of my head. Are you aware of anybody?
No, not that we've seen, at least. Not that I have any insider information. I don't mean it like that, but you know what I
Yeah.
mean.
Yeah, no. I just want to make sure not like randomly Maw also has access to it or something.
No.
So what becomes really nasty with this potential here is giving it to somebody who has a reactive ability of their own that can be used. They can use that power they're getting out of activation. And Thanos,
Right.
who is this kind of sneakily a support character, and I think we'll talk about that a little bit more. This works so well with Death's Decree.
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, as much as I like the reality gem, I probably oversold it a little bit, and admittedly, I was reading it just a scotch wrong. But yeah, this the power hungriness of Thanos is mitigated when you put that soul gem on him, I think. Because think about how far range four is. So you put him in a good location, and that 50 mil base, range four from that 50 mil base is really far. So any enemy character that starts using superpowers in that zone is going to power up Thanos, who is in turn going to potentially power up his teammates.
Yep, he's gonna do that very wonderfully. The easiest gem this compares to is the power gem, which is giving basically just two power, no questions asked. So in a world where your opponent does not use a single active or reactive superpower, yes, the soul gem is going to be worse. But superpowers are just such an integral part of the game. They are how super the throws and all that stuff happen. There are so many teams. Especially comes to mind, the Avengers are kind of built around characters that have superpowers to get a discount on, which is just going to feed into whoever is the bearer of the Soul Gem. I think this card is superb.
I do too. So let's finish up on his character card and then let's tie it all together. So let's talk about his injured side. So on his top line, he goes from 8 stamina to 9 stamina. So he gets a boost in health when he's on his injured side. And the picture is the come at me pose, come and get me pose. I
Yep,
love it.
that is the comic pose of which
God, I love it.
we see in Infinity
I love it.
Gauntlet.
Yeah, I love it. So that's his first change. Nate, what's his next change?
Well, oddly enough, his next change is his leadership ability.
What?
It is still called Death's Agenda, but now instead of getting that extra VP for dazing or
Oh,
KOing
yeah,
of enemy
not
characters, no
dazing.
dazes, now it says during the modified dice step of an attack, an allied character may suffer up to 3 damage. For each damage suffered, it may re-roll one of its attack dice. If an attacking character becomes dazed or KO'd during the attack ends immediately.
Yeah, That is a leadership.
Mm-hmm.
That is a situational leadership.
It is also very much so that.
And let me ask you this. Does this create, in a sense, two different Thanoses? Thanosi? Thani?
It's very interesting because yes and no. At the end of the day, boosting attack dice or getting more consistency only on attack dice. This is not used for defenses or dodge rolls or anything. It is purely for attacks, and his other side is rewarding you for trying to get other characters KO'd. There's kind of an interesting balance there, though. Yeah, let's dive into that. Talk to me what you're thinking.
So I think that this creates it splits the match in a lot of ways. Like, so first part of the match, pre-Thanos dazing, because let's be honest, you want to daze Thanos as fast as possible, mm-hmm. in my humble opinion. All right, so not dissimilar to Hulk. Like, for me, Hulk is a character where you can play two strategies. You can ignore, or you can try to just focus fire. And for me, it's a focus fire strategy, I'd say 90% of the time, because Hulk still does a lot of things, a lot of damage, just a lot of good stuff, even just without taking any damage. He still does enough, right?
Yep, he is still a very lethal character, even if you just decide to straight up ignore him, for sure.
Exactly. So I see Thanos in a similar light, where, okay, I want to daze him as fast as possible because he's super lethal and he's very helpful to his teammates on his healthy side. And part of it is the leadership. Like, he's going to win the game faster if you don't do something about him, because I think the idea of I can't sit here and say that I am going to not have a character get KO'd within the first three rounds, because that is about the timeline, I would think.
You get Killmonger in round two with a charge. You get Valkyrie. You get Zemo in there by then. At that point, you've got Captain Marvel. Any of your big hitters are round two. There's a high chance of dazing. And then round three, you're wanting to finish that character off before they can contribute anything else to the fight.
Right. So that's kind of where I think about it, is like it takes to get a KO on round two is difficult.
Seen it happen.
As I say, it's not out of the realm of possibilities. Looking at you, BDT. But it's difficult. So, that being said, I want to ensure everything I can to make it to where my opponent can't score victory points just solely based on that leadership. So, now, as the Thanos player, I want to keep Thanos alive as long as possible to potentially score those extra victory points. It's like I said earlier, how you can play in such a way where you maybe want to ignore either a secure or an extract, but if you do that, you're going to want to keep Thanos alive. So it's going to have to change your play. You're not going to be able to be as aggressive with Thanos as you are with your other characters. But then he gets flipped. He gets injured. Now all of a sudden the gloves are off, pun intended. And now you're getting deeper into the game. You're turn four, you're turn five, you're maybe even turn six. And, you know, Thanos is sitting there. Maybe he's not going to be KO'd. And he's sitting on 9, 8, maybe even 7 stamina still. And now he can suffer up to 3 damage and reroll up to 3 dice at that point. And then you've got a Black Dwarf who maybe is injured, but still he's a pretty hardy boy at that point. Also can suffer some damage. Maybe you've got Thor in the Black Order for some reason. I mean, who knows? And on his injured side, he has 8 stamina. So
He can go fishing for a while on his throw or
I'm
whatever
just saying,
else he's needing to do.
It creates a more aggressive character and a more aggressive team. It takes an already aggressive Black Order and it turns it up to 11, I think, is what this leadership does.
Absolutely. It really puts an emphasis on the killing power and maybe how it works or is supposed to work in theory and all of that. And we all know how plans can absolutely go by the wayside when the game actually starts. But it creates this very nice point of, cool, I'm going to earn a couple extra victory points in case my opponent gets maybe that Kree power core before I do. Maybe it helps you maintain that balance. And then usually the second half of games, the kill strategy isn't so much of just wiping the entire team off. It's just wiping enough pieces off that there's no way that they can stop you from scoring as many points as you can off of the different secure objectives or the extractions that you have picked off of the KO'd bodies of your opponent.
Exactly. And I think that brings up another point that I'm going to talk about here in just a second. The only other thing that changes on his injured side is that he loses Cosmic Portal. So Cosmic Portal was the one where he's allowed to move people within range 4 of him up to range 2. So he loses the Cosmic Portal ability. So that
takes away his ability to kind of for Asgard pull somebody in closer or maybe hit them, move them farther away. Loses that control aspect.
He loses that control aspect, and I think that plays into his new leadership whereas before he was much more support captain, support leader, he is now a beater model in the game, I think. Mm-hmm. On his injured side, he becomes a lot less support, losing Cosmic Portal. So, now you touched on affiliations for a second there. That's kind of, I think, where you were going. Any other thoughts on his injured side before I go?
Before you go down the rabbit hole? No, man. I think you covered it well there that he loses a really big ability, one of the things that makes him so threatening and one of the reasons you want to maybe even get him dazed more so than the victory points is for him to lose that huge control ability that he has with his Cosmic Portal.
Exactly. So let's talk about affiliations because I think that this is a huge thing it's a huge thing in this game, but it's a huge thing for this character. So we've talked before multiple times about how he's a support character in a lot of ways, especially on his healthy side. So you start the game with Thanos being a support character. He's 6 threat, which is a lot. It's a lot. But I think, and this is probably easy for me to say, but my God, I think he's an Avenger, dude.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's an Avenger. I think the discount on Cosmic Portal and the discount on Death's Decree, like, I'm talking no stones, no gems.
I think you still want the soul gem.
I'm not saying
gem,
that you don't
just some
want
sort
it.
Of power.
I'm not
yeah.
saying you don't want it. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying a purely as the card lays, no gems, Thanos is an Avenger in Marvel Crisis Protocol.
Interesting.
Because the guaranteed discount for Cosmic Portal and Death's Decree allows him to be such a battery for the team that I feel like it's huge. But then again, what are you losing when you bring him in, where you're losing a Hulk? But
and that's kind of, I think those are the, that's really the question is, in moments when you were thinking, hey, do I want Hulk or do I want Thanos? I don't think that you necessarily want to be like, hey, do I want Shuri and Valkyrie or do I want Thanos? I think it's a much more dependent on, hey, like I already enjoy having this big character in this situation. Would I rather have Thanos?
Yeah, and I think that is 100% the question. It's not what 2 characters am I losing? It's what 1.5 characters am I losing in a sense? Like, okay, I can give up Hulk. I can give up Thor, which, you know, I think that that's not going to happen. But, like,
but you might see an upgrade where you go from 17 to 18. You're like, maybe I do Thanos instead of MODOK.
Right. That and I think that is kind of the more interesting thing. And I think that Thor, so as we know, the BDT, the Big Ding Dong Thor list.
Big Daddy Thor.
Yeah, well, you know, let's call it by its name.
Okay. Big Daddy Thor?
You know, Nate. Don't play, you know. It's not Big Daddy Thor. It's something way more male genitalia related.
Why, whatever do you mean?
Yeah, so big.
Yeah, so
BDT.
Going for that 15 gamma waves.
Right. And so that list is Hulk, Thor, and Captain America. It's an Avengers list. Putting Thanos into the BDT list, you lose the gamma launch ability, which is pretty much what that list is predicated on in a lot of ways, is to get Thor up there before he even activates to mess with things. But at the same time, you're able to cosmic portal Thor up a little bit and kind of get things moving a little bit sooner than maybe what your opponent is expecting. I think that it's interesting to look at Thanos as a Hulk replacement instead of Thanos as a two models replacement, as a Vision and Black Widow replacement, or like you said, Shuri and Valkyrie replacement. Like, I don't think he replaces those characters because that's two characters that do a lot versus one character that does a good amount. But I still like him as an Avenger.
Yeah, no, definitely good as an Avenger. I don't know if I necessarily want him in the Wakandans, especially if he's not going to have any additional kind of gems attached to him. The Guardians, I, again, don't feel especially strong about it because Thanos himself is not the one who wants to be doing all of the damage and this attacking with these rerolls. He's really kind of more of
he's a battery.
Word. Yeah, he is that support piece. He is the instigator. He is the one pushing your team forward. And so he doesn't really want the rerolls. Granted, I'm sure characters like Gamora and Rocket get absolutely disgusting with Death's Decree giving them an extra little boost on their different attacks.
I bet that's nasty.
Yep, or maybe even the full auto on Star-Lord trying to get to squeeze out even more wilds. The list of things that Thanos can do with that is just disgusting, and no matter what affiliation. But I think that, you mentioned the Avengers. Obviously, Death's Decree, he has that on both sides. Reactive is going to play super strong. It's as long as Thanos is in range, all of your other characters are basically getting two extra dice on at least one of their attacks in a turn.
It makes Captain America's shield throw actually viable.
And it's not great, but it's one of those things that, like, you occasionally throw it out there for kicks and giggles, and then suddenly, like, that could be a real threat.
Exactly. And that I think is what makes it interesting. And it ignores line of sight and cover, so rolling six dice on a Captain America shield throw, and then if he's injured, rolling eight dice on it? Color me intrigued.
Now, I will be curious, and this might be a question for our mathematician in the form of Jacob from Savior Protocols, but which is the better dice roll to do that on? Are you better off trying to do that on the first one, or is it better to risk saving it for the character you really want to ricochet onto but just wasn't in range?
Oh, I think it's 100%. I don't know, obviously, but I would think it is 100% the first die roll because it's the guaranteed die roll.
Yeah.
You know, like, no matter what, you're rolling that many dice versus maybe you get to roll those extra dice.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And again, I'd probably enjoy seeing some math on it, mostly because I love Cap's shield throw for occasionally getting to put a point or two of damage onto a certain raccoon who enjoys large laser guns.
Yes, he does. So the affiliations that we haven't talked about, though, are Asgard and Cabal. And let's start with Asgard because alphabetical is always fun. I think in Asgard, he's fine. He's immune to stun, which is a huge reason why I would put someone in Asgard is to stop the stun.
Yep, it also helps with the
Well,
stagger.
yeah, the stagger, but the stagger is not as prevalent as stun is.
Yep.
So I can see the benefits of Asgard, and again, keeping him alive in Asgard, I mean, holy shit. But let's also think about if you play him in Asgard, that's 11 threat, no gems.
Yep.
11 threat with no gems. Then you start talking about putting the soul gem on him. That's 12 threat. Then let's talk about, I mean, I don't.
Putting Valkyrie in the list and just killing everybody. All right, I'm good with
I mean, maybe, but if you're going up against a list that has five models in it, I mean, dice are gonna dice, and I don't know, man.
No, that's not a situation you want to be in. And granted, everybody, please play as you see fit. Try the
Absolutely.
crazy things. Do Thor, Valkyrie, and Thanos with a mad amount of power with a soul gem and have a blast. Probably don't do it on Wakandan herbs, though, because that probably would not work out well for you.
Exactly. And so the last one is Cabal. I think obviously, anytime he does damage, he gains a power. I mean, who wouldn't love that?
Yeah, I think ultimately Cabal and Avengers, along with obviously the Black Order, are where Thanos wants to end up at the end of the day. And he plays a very similar role in Cabal, just being able to mostly be there for the Cosmic Portal, Death's Decree, additional support pieces, while also being able to generate a little bit of extra power. I think fits really well for him. That way you don't have to take a gem for him to reliably be able to help with his different support abilities.
Yep, I agree. And so to put a button on this Thanos discussion, let's talk about the gems and what gems work best on our Mad Titan. So, Nate, I'm going to start with this. I think it's the Soul Gem, and I think it's the Mind Gem. Now, I'm not a huge fan of the Mind Gem. But with Thanos not having to pay the power cost, so not only does he get to Cosmic Portal on his healthy side, but with the Mind Gem, he subsequently gets to move someone away or move someone short, advance someone short. So I really like that as a control element. So I like that. I also like the Time Gem, but I don't know, man. I think that the soul and the mind for how I'm gonna want to play Thanos is where I'm gonna make my money. You know what I mean?
Yep. I see where you're coming at. And really, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to play style preferences and what you want your Thanos to be doing on the table.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the day, one, obviously, giving him extra gems. And I almost think you really want to have at least one gem on Thanos. And usually that'll be the soul gem or the power gem if you just don't think that your opponent's going to use superpowers for some reason. That getting that extra little bit of power is going to just help him flow and do what he wants to do. And so, in my opinion, there are only two gems that you're kind of more in this middle ground of maybe it's not the best fit for Thanos. And as I mentioned before, the power gem, I think, just falls short of the soul gem because the consistency of the power gem is great, but that ridiculously high ceiling for what the soul gem can provide, I think,
Exactly.
just outshines it.
I agree. I agree.
And I could be wrong here, and I think I very well may, But I think the space gem, the one that comes with Ebony Maw,
no
that costs
way.
Two threat.
You really think the space gem
is not worth it?
Oh, okay. I was like,
yeah. These are the two that I'm saying are I Ooh. Don't think are the ones that are quite worth it. I think the ability is great, and I think this is where Thanos can get really dangerous and really tricky, especially on his healthy side, because you're able to both Cosmic Portal and Space Gem, which is at that point a Gamma Launch. You get a Gamma Launch a turn.
Right.
As long as you do it in the correct order, you use the Space Gem first because they're within three, and then the Cosmic Portal, you just make sure that they're within range four. And that adds a ton of flexibility, but I don't know if the two threat is going to always be worth it. And granted, it may. It might be something where you do the space and the mind gem and you just make Thanos this nasty control support piece.
I think that's a possibility.
Nine threat.
Yeah. That's my thing. Is like the space gem costing two is what makes me not want to take it.
Yep. I think if it was one, it would be a much easier sell. Mm-hmm. Might even be an easier sell than the mind gem for me.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. Like, the reason why I said the mind gem is because it's one threat. Space gem was one threat. I'd probably pick the space gem instead.
Yep. So with that in mind, the only other two threat gem is the time gem. And I think that one might be worth it a lot more so than the space gem. And I've seen Corvus been able to do absolute work with that gem. And basically, it's a gem that says, hey, here's two threat. Thanos gets three actions a turn.
Yeah, and that's my thing. It's like Thanos getting three actions a turn is huge. Because then that a lot of times what ends up happening is move, attack. Right? Well, now, all of a sudden, you get to move, attack, attack.
Mm-hmm.
And he has two free attacks. And one of those can be pumped with power that you probably got from the soul gem from other people using superpowers. So I'm with you on the time gem in that it is probably the best one for him, but it costs you two threat. So let's say you put the time gem and the reality gem or the soul gem on him. Well, now all mm-hmm. of a sudden, we're talking about a nine threat character. That's huge. And then thinking about roster construction, not only do you have to leave two characters at home to include those two gems, I mean, that's huge. Now you're banking on having priority and making sure you get the crisis you want. I think.
Yep, I think Thanos is going to be a extremely fun casual piece to play with and experiment with. And I think that there are going to definitely be certain builds of him that are downright disgusting on the more competitively minded tables in the world. And I'm very curious to see what iterations people come up with, because like the Loki Pokey is something that's very dangerous on Gamma Shelters, where it relies on Thor's throw, Loki's taking of the mind gem for movement, and MODOK's ability to advance characters around. We very well may see this super controlly Thanos that isn't too worried about trying to deal damage and is much more about scoring those victory points.
Yeah. Very interested to see how he shakes out.
Yep. But myself, I'm absolutely I think the two that I look forward to testing and running him around with are going to be the time gem, because I feel like you have to try to take advantage of his being of immeasurable power and getting that free action, basically.
Yeah, I think that the action economy is really important. I just don't know if I want to run an eight threat character out there.
Yep. And that's kind of the difficult spot. And I think maybe it's just going to be one of those things that once we see Thanos on the table, start getting reps in and all that kind of stuff, we get to make a lot more sense of where he belongs.
Exactly. So one last thing before we finish off with our Thanos discussion, Nate, is the tactics card Power of the Cosmos. And what does that say, Nate?
Power of the Cosmos gives him access to an energy attack called Power of the Cosmos that starts as an area one range, a strength of 6, and a power cost of 0. Of course, the real power cost is that Thanos has to spend 4 power to play the card. It is an activated or an active card that's unaffiliated, so it can just be used with any Thanos anywhere. And then it says Thanos may use the Power of the Cosmos attack shown above once this activation. Add 1 to the range of this attack for each infinity gem this character has to a maximum of area 5. Any enemy character or an enemy character damaged by this attack is pushed away short from this character.
So I think this is a kind of fun card. I think it's very casual. I don't think it's one that I would have on my roster per se. But Thanos being able to do potentially an area 3 attack. Obviously, it says it can do a maximum of area 5, but since he can take up to 2 gems for his base game stuff. Like his cosmic encounter, obviously he's going to have all of them. I think
that is where that little bit comes in. That or they're future proofing something dastardly in the future, similar to we see maybe the future proofing of his wild throw.
Exactly. So that aspect of it, sure. But really, it's 2 gems. So if he has 2 gems on him, this becomes an area 3 attack. It's only 6 dice, which isn't great in comparison to other attacks, but it's area 3. So positioned right, you could really hit a lot of characters with this.
You can. I think with area 3, you could reasonably expect to pretty easily be able to hit 3, maybe 4 characters, depending on the crisis, how big the threat is, plenty of additional circumstances around it.
Right. And if this is, if we're playing Gamma Shelters, or if I'm expecting Gamma Shelters and I'm running Thanos, I'm not leaving this card at home, I don't think. I think that in that scenario, in that crisis, it becomes viable. But I think it's also one that if you're running Black Order or if you're running Thanos in your roster, having it in your roster as a threat, a la Age of Ultron, I think is where it gets interesting. Because people have to think about that. Like, it's like, okay, well, I can see Thanos coming in here, running this Power of the Cosmos, doing this area attack. I mean, I don't know how deep down that rabbit hole someone would think, but I know if I see that in my opponent's roster, I'm going to be thinking that it could come out, and that if I'm running Gamma Shelters, it could be devastating. So, and especially if you consider his healthy leadership for KOing characters, if played at the right time, that could be a few extra victory points.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Nate, that you have thoughts on it.
I disagree. I think, again, as you mentioned earlier, in a very casual setting, maybe this card is fine. But the thing that you are having to consider is how deep you have to go in on Thanos to make this card viable.
Yes, obviously.
You have to have 2 gems, so you're looking at a minimum 8 threat Thanos. And then one of your, in my opinion, the most limited resource, which is the tactic cards, is one that is focused on Thanos. And it costs 4 power and a tactic card for a 6 dice energy attack at the end of the day. I look at Thor, and I like his God of Lightning,
Thunder.
Or God of Thunder attack more than this one, because it's only 5 threat and it doesn't take a tactic card. It costs, I think, 2 more power, and it doesn't have that maximum range, but I think the difference of 3 threat and a tactic card will makes up for that cost of 2 power, and Thor's rolling more dice.
No, I do think that Thor's God of Thunder ability, it costs you 6 power, and you're rolling 7 dice for an area 2 attack. Still good, but you've got to think that an area 3 attack from a 50 mil base that's pretty far.
You're going to be hitting a lot of characters,
but
you're also
going to
be hitting
you.
Some of your own characters.
Exactly, and that's not ideal, probably. But I do, like I said, I think it's definitely a casual fun card. And I think whenever we get the Cosmic Encounter, whenever that's coming out with the Thanos box, whoever's playing the Cosmic Threat, this card is obviously in their play. Like,
I have a feeling that this is that they're going to adapt tactic cards for the Cosmic Threat player, at which point this card becomes a lot more fun and can do a whole lot more stuff. Obviously, we don't know all the details about that yet, but I think it'll be a lot of fun there. My other point in the comparison to Thor is Thor has this wonderful strike that six dice and on a wild can throw things around.
Oh, yeah.
It just so happens that Thanos has a very similar strike. And there are times where I think I would rather use Thor's strike over his God of Thunder because it can get him extra power instead of costing him power.
All the time. I don't think like it's fun to get off a God of Thunder. But at the end of the day, if you're playing for God of Thunder, you're playing it wrong.
Yep.
And
that's where this card, I think, even falls more weak, is when Thanos has the exact same attack as Thor, but actually better. I think there's a lot more cause for Thanos to leave this by the wayside and try to fish for that wild and hit real hard by getting the guaranteed throw damage on usually probably a size 3, possibly even size 4 characters.
Yes.
And look, get a lot more of those.
That is obviously the efficiency min-maxing way. Like what I said about not going for the God. Like, look, if you get off a God of Thunder, it feels really good having done that. It feels really good. But at the same time, it's a min-maxing. Like, if we're trying to be competitive, we're not trying to use God of Thunder. We're trying to use for Asgard. We're trying to use his throw, those kind of things on Thor. With this, again, I don't think it's particularly competitively viable, but I do find it interesting. And I do find it as a threat in someone's roster just simply because I do think that Area 3 is not to be scoffed at. Because it's... Mm-hmm. Not that you're scoffing at it, but because if you're all in on Thanos and the Black Order, it's going to show through on your roster. And if that's how you're going and that's how you're playing, I think that this card making your roster is reasonable because if you're all in, it's a threat. And being able, even if, okay, it's less dice than Thor's, but it's a longer range, so it can potentially affect more characters, and Thanos doesn't necessarily have to be as in compromising of a position as a Thor would in order to damage said characters. So, all that to say, I still think it's casual, mainly, like, just have fun with it, but I think that there is something there. I'm just not sure what it is just yet.
That's fair. And I mean, if you're somebody at the end of the day who enjoys playing Ricochet Blast and some of these other tactic cards that give you a one-time use attack and you enjoy those, go ham, power up Thanos, get him gemmed up, and go unleash the power of the cosmos.
Look, it's your game. Have fun with it.
Absolutely.
So with that, we're going to polish this thing off. We pass the question off to you guys. Let us know what you think of Thanos, of the Reality Gem, of the Soul Gem at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com or Facebook message. You can Facebook message us. We are at House Party Protocol Podcast. Just leave a comment on our Facebook page, message us, whatever you want to do there. We check those. And yeah, make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast here so you get it as soon as it's released right to your feed. And then make sure to leave us a review. For some reason, Apple Podcasts does this weird algorithm thing that the more reviews you have, the more noticed you get. So if you would please, if you hate us, leave a 5-star review saying how much you hate us. If you love us, leave a 5-star review saying how much you love us. It would be greatly appreciated. And also let us know what you guys want to talk about on the next episode of The After Party. We've got one of those coming up with me and Nate, and we will be answering fan questions over there. I think we're going to be talking about Hulk and MODOK. So
absolutely.
That's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, let us know what you guys want to talk about over there. If it has nothing to do with Hulk and MODOK, also feel free to leave us a message for that. And stay on the lookout for a Thanos-themed giveaway coming up, which is going to be very fun. And, yeah, Nate, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me over on YouTube at The Gamers Guild as well. I'm on Facebook. Love answering questions if anybody has them and seeing your comments on videos. The day after this drops, I'll be posting my own review and first impressions of Thanos and everything that he's able to bring to the Black Order. I'm specifically also going to be going over all of the other Black Order tactic cards and how he fits in with them and what synergies there are there. So keep an eye out for that. And as well, we're coming up on a year anniversary of the channel, and we're inching closer and closer to 1,000 subscribers, so I'm trying to make a goal of hitting that within a year. That would be really cool. So if you are somebody who's checked out the channel before and you enjoy the stuff over there and you haven't already, please consider hitting that subscribe button just as a personal goal. That would be really fun to talk about.
Yeah, definitely check that out. We love you over there, Nate, at the Gamers Guild. You do a lot of good stuff. I'm very excited for that video. Yeah, that sounds a lot of fun. And yeah. All right, Nate, final thoughts?
I think that's that wraps it up pretty well.
All right, dude. Party on, Wayne.
Party on.